Hello, welcome to our talk for August the 9th. I'm the Reverend Steve Morris from St Cuthbert's, North Wembley. It's really tremendous to have you here listening along. I really trust that you'll gain a really great understanding of the Word as we read the Bible, but also that you'll get a great sense of God in your life and knowing that He's very close to you. The reading today, there are three readings, and we're just going to read from Matthew 14, 22 to 33. The other readings are 1 Kings 19, 9 to 18, and Romans 10, 5 to 13. But today, we focus on the Matthew reading. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowd. After he dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone, but the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You have little faith," he said. "Why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." My word, yet again, isn't it brilliant? I mean, it's just so great to read it out loud. That's how it's meant to be read, of course. You know, when you read it out loud, the Bible, you just notice so more. I mean, one thing I will just say is that I think all the miracles are absolutely true, literally. I've got no problem believing any of the miracles. In fact, I think they strengthen my faith. And I believe in them, actually, literally, because if God could make the world and the universe and everything in it, which I think many people can accept, then these little things, these are just tiny, these are nothing much for what God can do. This is one of the most haunting images, I think, though, of Jesus. And do you notice again, you know, Jesus is tired, I'm imagining, because he goes off on his own. He goes up the mountain where he sits quietly to be with God. Personally, I'm not very good with sitting quietly. It's not one of my strengths. Which is interesting, because I've spent most of my working life working on my own from home. So I've had a lot of time to get used to it. Jesus is up there on the mountainside, but he's not too busy, as it were, in his conversations with God to notice that his friends are in peril. You know, he looks up and it's very dark, and out there the boat's in trouble. Now, these are very experienced fishermen on this boat. They really know, and they know that the lake is a treacherous place. It's like it's really, really massive storms build up. And Christ notices, and that's the first thing to say. Jesus notices when we ourselves are struggling. He notices that the boat's in trouble. And he does something about it, as he always seems to. He does something quite extraordinary, though to him it probably felt completely normal. I mean, if you know that you've got, you know, the elements at your command, then walking on water is pretty easy. Why does he walk on water? Well, of course, in a one sense, it's to demonstrate. But again, it's not just demonstrating. It's because it's the most practical way to get out to the boat to help them. He walks. Now, if you saw your friend suddenly able to fly, for instance, you might be a bit worried. And that's really what happens as well with the followers. They notice that Jesus is walking on water and they're afraid. And Jesus says to them, "Take courage, don't be afraid." It's the kind of thing, interestingly, that angels always say. And I think that God isn't unaware that he can be not just awesome, but frightening. This "don't be afraid and take courage," I think, is one of those lines that we can take with us into our everyday life. Most of us suffer from fear. And it's been sharpened, hasn't it? Quite rightly sharpened by recent events. You know, I don't think God wants us to be completely oblivious to the perils that are around us. Yeah, he wants us to be safe. And many of us will like take that wonderful line, take courage, it is I, don't be afraid. Yeah, we all need a bit of that, don't we? Then comes a really interesting vignette, and one of the reasons why I love Peter. I empathise with Peter because he tries so hard, and yet sometimes he gets things wrong, but he's a trier, and God, I'm sure God loves a trier. You couldn't fail to love Peter. He just, throughout his life, he's beset by all kinds of personal issues, and he makes the same mistake over and over again. He's a big-hearted, maybe big-mouthed kind of fella. But I think you'd love him. I think you'd love him. Jesus says, Peter says, I'd like to walk on water to come to you, which is brilliant, really. And Jesus says, come on, off you come, up you come. In a sense, he's kind of saying, well, you can do it. It's a kind of empowering, motivating statement. And he gets so close, dear Peter. He actually gets to do some walking. He's the only other human being probably to have walked on water at all. But then, of course, he has a kind of moment where he begins to doubt a little bit. He feels a bit of fear and he sinks and Jesus has to grab him and save him. And Jesus' words must be said in the right voice. You have little faith. Why did you doubt? You know, I don't think it's a big shouty admonishment. It's really an encouragement. No, you don't need to doubt, my dear friend. You don't need to doubt. You nearly did it. Of course, when they get into the boat, everyone knows who's there, just what Jesus is made of. Hey, what would I take home with it? What would it say to me? I think that our failures are less important than our motivations. You know, we want to be near God, and we hear in the Beatitudes, blessed are the righteous, blessed are those who want to be right with God. And most people would like to be right with God, wouldn't they? I take from it that Jesus wants us to know that he'll stand by us, and when the waves get up, we begin to sink. There's the hand, the glorious godly hand helping us out. And I hope as well it gives us a bit of encouragement to jump out of the boat ourselves occasionally. Now, I'm wary of when people want to do things that might be very harmful to them in relation to God. You know, if you're going to give all your stuff away and you're going to end up starving to death, I'm not sure that's really what God wants of us. But equally, I definitely want to know in my own life that it's possible to take a bit of godly risk, knowing that the hand of God is there to help us. I come away mainly, again, thinking how marvellous the Bible is. It's not just a great story, it's so beautifully written, and it's got this sense of utter reality when you read it. I mean, I can really imagine Jesus sitting up on that mountainside, trying to pray and being distracted as he sees his Keystone Kop friends getting into trouble again. Oh boy, I better go and get them out of trouble, he thinks. I can really see them being scared on the boat. I can really feel that sense of Peter suddenly just saying, I'm going to respond. And so I think there's so much to be said with this, and I hope you'd love the passage as much as I do. Father, would you help us to get out of the boat, to take a risk, to help others when they feel that they are afraid. Amen.